things. I wish they were here to identify the issue that would take
place. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's sit down, please. Members of the press, audience, consultants, commissioners. We will present, or Mr. Flynn will. I'm very sorry to say that the Church of Scientology did not agree to participate any more than they did this morning. We would have liked to have questioned their witnesses as to the background of L. Ron Hubbard, whether or not he is a nuclear physicist, a medical doctor. Did he indeed serve in combat? Did he indeed heal his own war wounds and his own blindness? We would have liked to have asked many questions of the witnesses. I will leave Mr. Flynn. He has said is biased. I will let Mr. Flynn speak for himself. He is something personal in this case. I feel everyone in the city has a personal interest in this case. Many of the concerns he raised should have been raised by the state's attorney. Well, maybe he will now. I have waited, the city's waited for 7 years for that to happen. This information should be helpful to the state's attorney for him to make a decision whether he should take any further action or enact any legislation. Concerning the legality of the trial, its hearings, even I'm getting like Mr. Johnson, hearings, the question he raised has already been presented to the Federal District Court in Tampa, and they found that those questions did not prevail, and we were given the okay to proceed. Cross-examination, we in the City Commission also asked the same questions that you out there, you the people, have been asking for many, many years. So we feel that we did ask them the right questions. Each witness has informed us prior to Mr. Johnson's statement as to how they would be characterized, in some cases demeaned, by information used in their confession. So robbery and blackmail and kidnapping are not the concerns of the commission. I feel they are the concerns of everybody in Clearwater. The tax issue was not directly discussed. I took special care not to discuss the tax issue. The issue of religion was discussed indirectly. I took special care not to discuss that. I just wish they had chosen to participate. As I said in the beginning of these hearings, the public has the right to know, and they still have that right to know today. As far as the legalities of this hearing, I would like to ask Mr. Buston, who is our city attorney, to give us his views on the issue.
Mayor, the only thing I want to say is that I think you've got to, as we said before, get back and look at this thing as to what it really is, and that is a legislative body looking into some factual data, trying to gather factual data to decide whether or not they can pass legislation. You cannot confuse the functioning of a legislative body with a trial. And you heard Mr. Johnson talk over and over again about trial and trial conditions and criminal trials. No way in the world can you equate the two together. And if you do, you end up with a bad product. No way can a legislative body function using the same rules that you would use in a courtroom scene. It's just not possible. And I have never watched a legislative body function in that way, either in Congress, in our state legislature, or anywhere else. He raised a lot of questions about our areas of concern. But I think what is quickly forgotten is that this is a city which has power co-equal, literally, to the state of Florida. Under the Constitution of the state of Florida, you are given what's called home rule power, equal to the state, except where the state says you may not act. Now, within that Constitution, it says you are to be concerned with the health, safety, and welfare of everyone in the city of Clearwater. And it seems to me that within the parameters of those broad grants of power under the Constitution, that conditions affecting the education, possible crimes, possible criminal conduct, abuse of information, all of this stuff goes to the health, safety, and welfare of the people that are residing or are in this city. It would be a weird legislative body or a weird local government that said, expressed no interest in things like this that might be going on or informed are going on in the city. And I think if you look around, you'll see other examples of where cities have looked at this going to become. The easiest example is drugs. If you took the example that if you became aware of a drug problem in your city and the only person you turned to was your state attorney to handle it, you'd never solve any drug problem. There are a lot of things that need to be looked at, and those are the power areas in which you look at it. I think this is the whole thing that's been forgotten. It's not a question for this commission, what Mr. Flynn is doing or not doing. The question you have to decide is from the factual information you've received in the last 4 days, whether that information supports the adoption of legislation. It doesn't matter. That's what you're judging. You're not judging Mr. Flynn. You're judging that factual information. Does it support some type or types of legislation? And I think that has been obscured totally in the whole process. In fact, I'm going to recommend that once the material is, there's so much and so voluminous that the transcript of it be prepared. And then I'm going to, even in further assisting the commission in deciding this legislative question, contact a constitutional scholar I have in mind from another jurisdiction to even look at the transcript, helping this city commission make a decision based on the legislative aspects. And the commission is so agreeable.
Thank you. Before we start with Mr. Flynn, if he has up to 2 hours of summation, which is the rules of procedure that we set forth the first day of these hearings, I'd like to give the commission a short chance, and I hope that they do not belabor too much, to discuss what has gone up to now or discuss the presentation of Mr. Johnson of representing the Church of Scientology. So as is our custom, we're going to alternate, and I believe we'll start this time with Mr. Jim Cultivan.
Well, I was disappointed that the Church of Scientology did not enter into the record or participate in these hearings. Again, I'd reiterate that I always looked at them as an information and trial, not in a trial manner, but an information gathering. And I can't believe that the opinion or the advice to the Church of Scientology would be, do not take advantage of your 4 days to give your side of the story or give the facts, bring the records forward. There must be some reason for that, but that advice completely escapes me. As far as Mr. Flynn, in complex litigation, you need a specialist, and Mr. Flynn or that law office, at least when we were going through looking at not only city attorneys, and we did have Mr. Logan go over it before, but we needed someone that had the information already, the documents from Washington collated. We're not asking Mr. Flynn to make judgment. We're asking Mr. Flynn just to present us with facts and information, which I feel he did. I'm surprised Mr. Johnson, being a local attorney, would make the comments as far as our jurisdiction here in Clearwater and what the state attorney's office should and should not do. It's just like robbery, burglary, or even murder in this city. We don't have jurisdiction over that. The police investigate it. They can pick people up, but it's still up to the state attorney's office to try for that crime. So that was a moot point. and the comments about Mr. D. Wolf and Mr. Meyer, Mr. Burfield very well and very vigorously questioned Mr. D. Wolf about his recantation. And to the best of my knowledge, Mr. D. Wolf told the commission and told the audience, the viewing audience, that he indeed did recant part of his testimony to the IRS. However, what Mr. Johnson did not comment on was which parts he recanted, which were the personal opinions and not the facts, and number two, the harassment to his family, to his children, and the threats that he had received. So yes, Mr. DeWolf recanted, but under Mr. Burfield's questioning, I think the situation of the recantation was better known to the commission, and I wish Mr. Johnson had stated that also for the audience. In addition, Mr. Meyer, who was an IRS quote-unquote consultant, he also stated that he was a consultant under our questioning, et cetera, et cetera. My only question would be how Mr. Johnson found out about the intimate personal details that he mentioned about Ms. Van Schaik, who she came up of her own free will, how he found out about the psychological, or what he informed us was psychological and drug problems of not only Ms. Van Schaik, but Mr. Ray. I can't understand where he would get such confidential information. And the last thing I have to say is I feel, and I think the commission would feel the same way, that with all the information that we have seen over the years, I think it would be malfeasant, or we would be shirking our responsibility not to look into these areas. That's our job, both legally and morally, as far as I'm concerned. And if some of the testimony was given that Scientology has changed, I really wish in the last 4 days that they had come up and shown it. And I just feel the record is a little less complete because of the advice not to participate. And other than that, there were some emotional comments put on the record, but the commission, I don't think, will consider that when it gets down to the record. I think we'll be looking at the objective facts and see whether or not the record contains enough information to go forward, if there's enough factual evidence. Thank you.
Mr. Burfield, do you have any comments, sir?
Yes, I do. If there has been one moment of humor to me out of this whole thing, there was a comment of counsel that we had not cross-examined the witnesses. My office received a call wherein I was not present, but was chastised very vigorously, almost to the point of being harsh with the witnesses. And this particular woman said that I should never run for dog catcher in the city of Clearwater because of my partiality to the people of the Church of Scientology. So it's kind of unusual that one minute we're being criticized for not asking strict questions or cross questions, and then the next minute you're being chastised for them. I think we had a responsibility to the people of Clearwater, and that responsibility has come about from so many years of people asking questions, what's going on? I view these hearings not so much in light of all the testimony that was given, but what patterns were established? Were these patterns universal? Were they across the United States? Were they a corporate type of pattern? Sometimes it seemed like I was redundant in asking the question whether or not this could happen in Clearwater as well as in Las Vegas. And the testimony seemed to substantiate that. But as Mr. Caldebank pointed out here, we're concerned strictly with the facts, and those facts that come out of here, as counsel mentioned, that we may not have any authority, but those facts should be related to the people that do have a proper authority. My biggest concern, and someone said it came out in my voice the other day, has been what Mr. Johnson chastised for, and that was not the proper coverage of this thing by the news medium. I had been truly hopeful that the news medium would take every word verbatim and print it. If there was any concern about politics or people running for office, that they could delete the names of the commissioners and just put it down, question, and what the answer was, and let the people of Clearwater decide whether or not
we have a problem. We had a lot of intelligent people here in Clearwater, and they wanted to know about it. And unless they had been able to watch Vision Cable, they have not gotten the full story out of this, or unless they sat down here. And I think if there was any injustice came out of it, there's where the injustice came.
Thank you. Mrs. Garvey, comments?
There really isn't much that I need to say that hasn't already been said, except one thing that Mr. Johnson mentioned was the personal financial interest of this law firm that we have. And it's my understanding that Mr. Johnson is paid by the Church of Scientology, so I would assume that's personal financial interest also.
Mr. Patchett.
Thank you. Our two big concerns, City Commission, in these hearings was to listen for fraud and criminal conduct. Those are our basic areas. I think we stuck to that very well. And anything else like taxes and religion, we asked it to be deleted from the record. I think a good job was done with that in fact finding. As Mr. Burfield stated, we were looking for situations of standard policy as a corporation, which you heard. I don't know how you can find out whether anything is going on, since you can't put a policeman on every corner and everybody watching everybody else. You know, how do you find out if illegal acts are going on? You find out when people step forward and complain. That's when you find out. And it's been stated before, that's our legal and our personal responsibility as commissioners to get on top of it. I believe that. The city has not made any determination of any testimony heard here today. And I was disturbed when Mr. Johnson stated that we are prosecuting in a sense. We made no determination of the fact that we found. We haven't even filtered them out yet. We just listened. I oppose Mr. Johnson stating certain things as he wanted to advise us before we went into the hearings. How would you know what any witness is going to say and how you going to advise us before that person has a chance to testify?
That's a good point, Mr. Patrick.
How are you going to know what he's going to say? How are you going to advise us? Our municipal concerns, I'd follow them, and I'm going to stick to the guns. Thank you.
Tony Shoemaker, the city manager, may have a few comments.
Mr. Mayor, members of the commission, I don't really have much to say. I think you said it very well. The thing that rather puzzles me is if the city commission and the city officials are not supposed to be concerned about the health, safety, and welfare of the city, what are we doing? I mean, what's the purpose of us being here? Also, I'd like to inform you, as I think you know, that concerning criminal activities, the police department is going to be very active and very involved and very concerned about any types of criminal activities that occur within the city of Clearwater. And I don't really have anything else to say.
One other small comment that they complained about Mr. Meister, his daughter, committed suicide 10 years ago. For a dramatic time, and I made special mention of the fact that we're not here to determine whether how she died or what caused her death. It's just that that was not the issue here at hand. And to kind of narrow it all down to what we're doing here is that if a local church was running an illegal or a crooked or fixed bingo game in the city, we should investigate it. So why not investigate something on a much larger scale? If we bring it down to that, I think everyone can understand it in that context. Now, Mr. Flynn, you have you are our hired consultant. They have made a few personal attacks on you as to your motives. Your financial arrangements made with the city and the 27 lawsuits. You can comment on that, or you can ignore that and get on with the 2 hours of summation that was going to be given to us, frankly, 4 days from now, but it's going to be getting a lot much more sooner than that.
Mayor LaShare and members of the commission, Mr. Shoemaker and Mr. Buston, I would like to briefly respond to the attack against me, because primarily it has some relevance, as much of the other evidence as I think my outline is going to show you, to everything that you heard for the past 4 days, the 4 days during which we were in session. My outline is going to take some period of time, and we're going to have to go relatively slowly in order to cover a lot of the points that I'm going to bring up. But at the outset, let me simply say this with regard to a doctrine called the Fair Game Doctrine, which is Exhibit 1, and attack the attacker, which is Exhibit 3. I would submit that in some small measure, you have just seen a representative of the church employ those two doctrines against me. With regard to my financial interest versus my personal interest, or whatever motivating factors motivate Thomas Green to my left, Thomas Hoffman to my right, and Kevin Flynn further to my left, so far we have filed a number of lawsuits on behalf of people across the United States. We have worked very hard trying to obtain other counsel to assist us, and it's been a very difficult job. Litigation against the Church of Scientology involves litigation against many, many lawyers paid by the Church of Scientology. To date, other than what we have received from the city of Clearwater, and perhaps a very small amount from one client, of all the people that have approached us, we have received nothing. We anticipate litigation which could go for approximately 5 years. For the most part, I personally have expended all of my own funds to finance that litigation, probably in excess at this point of $300,000. I have spent a great deal of my time in the last 3 years. The cases are on a contingent fee basis, as has been reported in the press on numerous occasions. My clients have no money. There is simply no other way to prosecute those cases. Without a contingent fee arrangement, I could not motivate any other lawyer to prosecute those cases. The Church of Scientology has filed an affidavit recently in a case in Los Angeles in which they say they have paid their attorney some $4 million to date to defend the case that we have brought. In the connection with the Mary Sue Hubbard case, upon information and belief, I understand that some $3 to $6 million were paid to those counsel to defend those cases. So far, Mr. Hoffman, Mr. Green, Mr. Flynn, and Mr. Flynn have received virtually nothing except what we've received from the city. And we have withstood 3 years of incessant abuse, harassment, lawsuits, probably now numbering in the range of 9, of which probably 5 or 6 have been dismissed, unending bar complaints. My wife just received a telephone call late the other evening in which the individual said, is Michael there? To which she said, no. And she said, and then the caller said, thank you, dear, and hung up. So that is just a microcosmic view of the type of thing that we've withstood for 3 years. And whatever motivating factors are within all four of us and the other lawyers that are involved, they may be complex, but I can state for myself that the primary motivating factor is what this proceeding and all of those lawsuits will be about. And that is what the truth is. The nature of this proceeding, as the nature of any proceeding, involved with the tripartite system that the United States enjoys, executive, the congressional, and the judiciary, is to determine what facts are and then to make decisions based on the facts available. And all three branches of the government do that, and the state of Florida does that on a daily basis. This proceeding is to determine whether there is sufficient facts for this commission to proceed on questions that are vital to the city of Clearwater. Not vital to Las Vegas or vital to Los Angeles, but vital to the city of Clearwater with regard to an international organization that has deposited itself under guise in your city and is conducting operations of the type that many witnesses have described, including Mr. Mayor. The international facet of the organization is of vital interest to the city because there are people internationally coming to your city paying millions of dollars based on policies, representations, publications,
basically all of which have been issued by Mr. Hubbard and distributed by his organization across the United States, which has, for instance, in the situation of Mr. Hartwell, lured him into the organization. And when he was shown pictures of Clearwater and went out and looked in geographically to determine what Clearwater was, and he ended up on a desert, and then almost was separated from his wife, and then subjected to the fair game doctrine, and has lived through a horror for the last 2 or 3 years. That is of some interest to the city, because your city was held out by this organization upon which Mr. Hartwell relied. And it so happens he ended up in a desert, and that's just one story out of thousands, perhaps. But it has some peripheral connection to the issues. Mr. Buston has basically covered the nature of these proceedings. I also did not have the opportunity to cross-examine if the Church of Scientology produced its witnesses. I have tried a number of complex cases, and I have utilized the tool of cross-examination in the past, including cases involving the Church of Scientology, and I forsook that opportunity so that not one, but seven people from this city who are the elected representative of the people of this city, at least in 5 cases, would have the opportunity to ask those questions. If an ombudsman was selected to ask those questions, I'm sure that Mrs. Garvey, Mr. Hatchett, Mayor LaShare, Mr. Caldebank, and Mr. Burfield would have had many questions that they would have liked to have asked, but might not have had the opportunity to, given the time constraints. And it would have been, since this is an investigative proceeding, a severe, in my judgment at least, diminution of the opportunity of your electorate, of the people of the city, to find out the truth of what the organization is. Because its elected representatives would have been, for the most part, denied the opportunity to ask the questions that the people of the city of Clearwater elected them to ask. Similarly, if I had conducted a cross-examination in a non-judicial proceeding, or in an investigative proceeding, a legislative proceeding, which is non-judicial, you people also would have been denied the opportunity to ask a lot of questions that you may have asked. Now, Michael Flynn may have asked questions that Michael Flynn was interested in that he thought would have brought out the truth, but this is investigative, and the people of Clearwater, I'm sure, would have wanted their elected representatives to ask the questions that they elected them to ask, for which purpose they elected them. Now, the truth of a particular issue can come out in many ways. It can come out in the press. It can come out in a judicial proceeding. And it can come out in a legislative proceeding upon which ordinances can be enacted. The Church of Scientology was given an equal forum here. And yet, the Church of Scientology, at least I submit my personal judgment upon, from reading the newspapers, has for many years had the opportunity to conduct its own public relations campaigns. And I would submit that if there has been adverse media attention to this organization in this city and elsewhere, it is because of the conduct of that organization that has led reporters to report what they've had. But this was an opportunity, as I said in my opening statement, for them to come forward and present evidence or facts which would rebut what has been published in the press, if the press is inaccurate, and give them the opportunity to present to you people and to the city of Clearwater, since it's on Vision Cable, what the nature of their organization is. Well, I submit that they chose not to participate because after the evidence that you heard, there is no way that the Church of Scientology could put a witness on a witness stand and face seven people and keep his basic integrity and look in the eyes of seven different people, as my witnesses were required to do, and answer the questions that you people would have asked. If you put one exhibit on the transparency overhead projector, just one of many, many exhibits on criminal activity. Mr. Johnson said that there was no evidence of criminal activities. Well, we simply did not have the time to go through the hundreds of documents which were submitted to you people, which are just unending criminal operations in the city of Clearwater. There was nothing on the videotape except perhaps some reading of things concerning breaking and entering, larceny, smearing, framing, perjury, like TRL, which you may recall is how you teach a witness to lie and things of that nature. I'm not sure he even saw the videotape, but there are many, many exhibits that are before the commission. But in any event, if any one of those witnesses appeared before you people, and just one exhibit, you could almost take any exhibit that's been introduced, take any exhibit concerning the confidentiality of auditing information, and you put that on the overhead projector, and you simply said to that witness, and I submit that this goes on every piece of evidence that's been introduced, you simply said to the witness, Mr. Witness, assuming that is true, we're not telling you that it is true. We're just telling you that we've heard some evidence, we've heard from some people, where auditing information has been specifically used against people and has been used in a at least manipulative way. Perhaps extortious, perhaps blackmail, but at least manipulative and a little bit coercive. Would you have paid money, Mr. Witness, or would you have provided services, Mr. Witness, to the Church of Scientology if you had known for the past 15 years, if you want to make that assumption, the organization has been doing those things? Well, the witness obviously would have had to have said, no, I wouldn't have done it. Otherwise, he would be participating in the conspiracy. He would have had to have said no. As soon as one witness said no to one question of that type, you would have your fraud case proved by their witnesses. They could not produce witnesses. Instead, they chose to conduct what they've always conducted, a PR campaign to further deceive. They don't fight their battles in the courtroom. They don't fight their battles in an investigative proceeding. They fight their battles in the courtroom to delay the cases I personally submit to you, on my judgment. We would go into court with any Scientology case tomorrow morning if we had the opportunity. But we won't get into some of the judicial problems. In any event, in this morning's newspaper, and I understand in yesterday's newspaper and in other news publications, the Church of Scientology chose to publish a full-page ad, at least in the Clearwater Sun, on what the Church of Scientology says is what its program and the nature of its organization is. And it says the Church of Scientology wishes to thank L. Ron Hubbard on the 32nd anniversary of his bestseller, et cetera, et cetera. Well, their current open house, which we'll get into, and their publication of something like this is their response not only to you people, but to its membership and worldwide. It's a PR campaign. It's not subjecting witnesses to seven people to cross-examine. It's more of deception. And specifically, I refer to, in this particular advertisement, the following. Walter Winchell first hailed Dianetics prior to its publication. Well, since it's prior to its publication, which was sometime in 1950, I would assume that it was sometime prior to 1950, at least a day or so before the publication. And I don't know how much Walter Winchell knew about Dianetics at the time, but perhaps he also was deceived. But anyway, they published the following quote. There is something new coming up in April called Dianetics. A new science which works with the invariability of physical science in the field of the human mind. Well, one of the last exhibits, perhaps the last I put before the commission, was the case of article or device, in which the article or device case said, in essence, in any publication in which Dianetics, auditing, Scientology, et cetera, is referred to in 11-point leaded type, you have to put in that all of those things are not capable of curing any disease, preventing any disease, et cetera, et cetera. And I won't dig out the exhibit at that time, but that's basically what it says. An 11-point leaded type is large type.
Is that disclaimer on there?
There is no disclaimer in this publication.